Morning, Thanksgiving. How is everyone today? Good. We'll have to have this planned out better for the next service. Well, my name is Anna Rowe, and I'm just super excited to be here. And as Pastor David said, I am the interim pastor for Thanksgiving, and I've just been enjoying every moment. I've had so many growing opportunities. I've been able to learn a little bit about care ministry, youth ministry, write what it takes to write a sermon, really understanding what it means to wrestle with God, and now preaching. So just thank you so much for all the Thanksgiving family has done to give me those amazing opportunities, and I'm just striving to get better and better at each shot I get. I just want to share a little bit of what I've been up to as the intern pastor. Just 2 weeks ago, I came back from the Pine Ridge mission trip with about 40 other students and chaperones. There will be a photo that's popped up. So this is our group who went to the Pine Ridge Reservation. And there we did construction projects like hanging drywall, shingling roofs, and building stairs. And it was just an eye-opening opportunity as well as just a lot of fun. And so I want to just put in a plug for the services on August 10th and 11th, where the next gen will be sharing what they've been up to this summer. So it's been an action-packed summer for next gen with an international trip to Chile with the Pine Ridge mission trip, as well as a leadership conference about sharing the gospel in Chicago. So we're just excited to share, and we would love for you to join us August 10th and 11th at all four services, or you can just go to one to just hear what NextGen has been up to. But today we're going to continue our series on Ephesians and really take a deeper dive into Ephesians chapter 5, 1 through 20, and looking at what it means to walk in the light of God and how we can do that. But no good sermon is good without a little review, and I'm not a Jeopardy girl, so I'm going to do my own review. As I was driving on the way here, I thought I needed a title and a theme song, so I decided it will be called Anna's Review, do-do-do-do-do, or something like that. So if you want to give me tips after the service, that would be fine. I have one more service, so I could change up my theme song or title. But how it works is I will read a question, you fill in the blank, and for Anna's review, just shout out the answer, no need to raise a hand. So, the first question is, before the world was created and we were born, God chose us to be blank and blank. Holy and blameless, perfect. So holy means to be set apart, and blameless means to walk in the ways of God, knowing that we'll make a mistake, but that's okay. All right, now we have our second question. God's blank does not affect our salvation, but it is an effect of our salvation. Grace, all right, so God's grace. And just to sum this up, what it means is that our works here on earth are not going to factor into the fact that we are saved. It's actually God's grace, it's God's free gift of grace that is the result of our salvation. All right, so the last question. The goal of life is to be perfect as Jesus was perfect. False. So, this was actually a trick question, and it's true. But I want to clarify. I know, now I just put a lot of pressure on everybody in the crowd. Yeah, when I was reading it too, I was like, oh, okay, well. But I want to clarify what perfect means. So, perfect in the Bible means to be how God intended you to be. So it's not like our earthly perfect where, you know, we have to dot our I's and T's and Q's or whatever that saying is. I'm not perfect either. But it's being how God intended us to be, which is holy and blameless. So this leads us into today's text, which is about being intentional in our faith. But before we begin, I just ask that we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time to come together as a family to worship you and praise you and to just deepen our relationship with you and grow closer to you through your word. I just ask God that what needs to be said today is said and what needs to be heard is heard. Amen. All right, so let's jump right into it, picking up at chapter 5. So as Pastor David spoke last week, We are called to be intentional in our faith. But then my question is, how can we do this? Well, Paul explains it by imitating God as dear children. So what does this really mean? On one hand, God isn't saying, hey, be God or be a God. But on the other hand, he isn't going to let us off the hook easily and say, hey, be like God when you feel like it, or just share a couple qualities that God has. No, God is asking us to imitate him, to copy him, and be like him in every way that we can be. So how does this play out? Well, in my head, it reminds me of a child who copies their parents. All right, so let's say maybe the parent says something, and then the child repeats it. Or the parent wears an outfit, and then the child imitates that. Or maybe the child scratches their head, and then the parent scratches their head. I hope I haven't been twisting those words, but you know what I mean. But the parent scratches their head, and then the child scratches their head. So here is a photo of me imitating my grandma. And so I just want to make it clear that no, at age 5, my taste was not as exquisite as turquoise earrings and beads, but that was my grandma's style, and I was imitating her. And actually, I just called her last night, just letting her know, like, hey, grandma, I'm going to be sharing today a little bit about your style. And then she told me that this was actually her mother's style. So this is 3 generations of imitation that we've done. And so I also would like watch my grandma get ready for the day, and I noticed she would always kind of fluff her hair. So there I am fluffing my hair as well, imitating my grandma. So Paul is asking us to imitate God just like children imitate their parents. So now we're going to pick it up again in Ephesians 5, verse 2, where Paul says, live a life filled with love like Christ loved us. So now we're supposed to imitate Christ's love for us to others. And this isn't just like the kind of love that you might have for like your favorite snack or your favorite TV show. Or since I'm a Wisconsin Badger alum, I know your favorite football team is the Badgers. And it's not like that kind of love. It's actually a deeper kind of love. It's a strong kind of love, and it's a sacrificial kind of love. As Paul points out, Jesus loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us. So we can imitate God's sacrificial love in various ways. And sometimes the gestures that we might think are small actually have a big impact on the receiving end. So that could be anywhere from just having a listening ear when someone's going through a hard time, or setting a little bit of time aside in your busy schedule to help someone or just be with them. So I want to share with you an example of where someone imitated God's sacrificial love to me, and it had a huge impact on me. So here are 2 photos that I received after church one day from a sweet girl in our congregation. And so that day, I don't know if you guys can relate to this, but sometimes you start making like a mental to-do list of what you have to do, for that day. So I had made my mental to-do list, and the church was over, and I was just ready to head out. And then this little girl tried to stop me. And honestly, you know, I'm ashamed to say it, but I was thinking, oh, okay, well, you know, maybe 5 seconds I'll spend with you, but I really got to get going and doing what I need to do today. But then she handed me these 2 cute little photos, and it just spread this sense of joy, this light and love in my life. And I thought, hey, Anna, everything's going to be okay today. Even if you don't finish everything, just enjoy the small stuff. So Jesus' love is the perfect model of the love we are called to imitate for others. In verse 3, Paul goes on to share with us some of the things that we should be careful of as we're intentional in our faith. So he says we should stay away from sexual immorality, impurity, greed, and foolish talk. But Paul also reminds us that God is not telling us to stay away from this stuff because he's a power mongrel or he wants control of us. No, that's not it. He's telling us to stay away from this stuff out of love because he wants to protect us, because we are his dearly loved children. Which Paul reminds us in verse 1. So God gives us free will, just like parents give their children free will. But he knows the things that are harmful to us, and he wants to protect us. So this kind of reminds me of a parent and teenager relationship. So it's kind of like this pull and tug, right? You want to give them freedom. You want to give them choices, and you want to give them autonomy. But also, you need to set rules. You need to set guidelines. You need to have a little bit of control. And you're not doing this because you want to control them, but you're doing this out of love. But then eventually, the time comes, let's say maybe they're 16 and they're finally able to drive, or they're going to college, or they're going to a sleepover, where you have to give them that freedom and autonomy, but you're hoping that you've taught them enough that they're able to make the right decisions and stay safe in that freedom. And that is the same relationship that we have with God as his dearly loved children. Then Paul takes us to the central focus for today, which is in verse 8, and I would just like to read this to you. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. The NIV version goes as far as to say that you once were darkness and now you're light. So Paul pulls on this contrast between dark and light that I think we should look at today. So when we look at verse 8, it says, for once you were full of darkness. Well, the first question that popped into my head is, well, where does this darkness come from? Where did it come from? And we have to jump all the way back to chapter 2 for a moment, which says this. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. So our darkness came from our disobedience and our sin. So the Greek word for dead is nekros, which has the meaning of dead. But I want to share this with you because you know sometimes how in the Greek translations, like let's take for example, love, in Greek, it means agape, but it has four different meanings. But for this one, it just means dead and dead. So that shows us that this isn't like a figurative type of dead. No, this is without air. This is without light. And this is like in the tomb kind of dead. And this is ultimately the kind of dead where God's not present. So without Christ in death, there's no relationship with God. There's no hope. There's no light, and there's no love. It's non-existent. And sometimes in darkness, we can feel awkward. It can feel lonely. We can feel depressed or sad, and we're uncomfortable and scared. I'll have to say that we can go as far as to say that the darkness is so awkward that people have created inventions where we never have to be in darkness again. Alone. So if you take out your phone, I'm sure everyone has a little flashlight. So that kind of just proves to us how awkward and scary darkness is. I'm not sure if you guys remember, but do you remember your parents saying that nothing good happens after midnight? So then we go to verse 4, where Paul says, then God gave us the light, the truth, and the hope through life. In fact, in God, there's no darkness at all. So let me read verse 4 to you. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. So with the light Christ offers, we are invited out of the darkness and are raised from the dead. So let's focus on this concept of light for a moment. So in the light, we're able to see the clear picture, and we're able to see what the darkness was attempting to hide. So when we talk about light, I always think of kind of the 4th of July. So let's go back a couple months ago or weeks ago and say we're at a 4th of July party, okay? And it's dark out and we're just waiting for the fireworks. And in the darkness, it's kind of, right before the fireworks, it's kind of awkward, let's be honest. Like sometimes we're with people who we don't know, we can't really see anything. We're just trying to make small talk and really just waiting for the big event, the fireworks or the light show. But then when the fireworks starts, the mood completely changes. It's more of a relaxed mood, and there's enjoyment, and there's laughter and chatting. Have you guys been to a fireworks show before? Yes, okay, So tell me if I'm completely off, but as soon as the lights go, as soon as the fireworks starts, we have one person going, ooh. And then there's like this chain reaction of a ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, throughout the crowd, right? And so that's the light that's spread from person to person to person. And as verse 8 says, the light produces what is good, what is right, and what is true. So we've talked about light, and we've talked about darkness. And now I want to talk about a theme that was present on the Pine Ridge mission trip, which is shadows. So when light and dark overlap, it creates a shadow. And so I just want to define what a shadow is. A shadow is the darkness or diminished light caused by the blocking of a light source. It's a dark area or a shape made by an object blocking rays of light. So when these photos pop up, what do you think you see? You guys can shout it out. A wolf, okay, and a bird. Okay, so at first glance, I would agree. I see a wolf and I see a bird. I see a bird. But after I think about it, I actually see a false imitation of a wolf and a bird. It's not actually a wolf and it's not actually a bird, but it looks similar. But those shadows are hiding the light, so we're not able to see the fact that actually it's just our hands shaped into a wolf and it's shaped into a bird. In fact, shadows accentuate the darkness of the real thing. So these shadows are a lot like the untrue thoughts or godly beliefs we tell ourselves, we hear, and that run through our minds. They block the light and they block the truth of what God has given us. And eventually, if we sit in those dark shadows enough, we will start to misperceive them as the truth or the light. So as I thought about this, here's ways that our false shadows can play out, leaving us in the darkness. Because I perceived my parents only loved me when I was good, God must only love me when I'm good. Because I have sinned, God is now punishing me with cancer. Does he really love me? Does he really care about me? And because I've sinned so many times, I've came for reconciliation, and I've done that exact same sin again, God must be fed up with me, and he doesn't want a relationship with me anymore. When you're living in the darkness and in these false shadows, it will start blocking the light. And eventually, you believe them as true, and they become your reality. Perhaps some of us are living in these false shadows today. But Paul has several ways that he invites us to walk in the light of God. So let's look at some of those today. So the first invitation is to guard your heart. So verse 15 and 16 says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. So as we learned in verse 3, we need to be careful of sexual immorality, impurity, greed, and foolish talk. These are all temptations in our world that can cause false shadows that lead to us being left in the darkness. As Paul reminds us, he says, guard your heart from those. And as wise people, we shouldn't put ourselves in positions where our hearts are open to that temptation or that hurt. It's interesting how Paul says, don't be drunk. So when we're drunk, we're not able to see the clear picture, and we're not able to think clearly. I think of this more as a spiritual drunkenness. So the temptations listed above can lead us into that spiritual drunkenness where we're not able to decipher from what is a false shadow and what's the light, what's the truth, and what's good. As we guard our hearts, we should be able to decipher between the light and the false shadows that enter our lives. So how can we guard our hearts? And it goes back to verse 8. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord, so live as people of the light, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. So to guard our hearts, we are to live in God's light. But remember, the NIV version went as far as to say that you are God's light. So we can live in God's light and be God's light in various ways. One way that I would like to point out today is through a daily devotional. So we have a bunch of daily devotionals on the reading rack that you guys can help yourself to. There's also daily devotionals that you can do on your iPhone or any phone. It doesn't have to be an iPhone. I'm an iPhone girl, and it's called the YouVersion app. And this is one that I read in college. My daily devotional. It's called The Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren. Have any of you guys read this? Yeah, you've gotten a couple. And so just for me, it's called Purpose-Driven Life, and in college, you're really trying to figure out who you are and what's your purpose. So this kind of helped me have an understanding and clarity of what my purpose was in life, but it also left me kind of like hungry, wanting more, wanting to deepen a relationship with God. And so I was really curious about that. And so another way that you can guard your heart is just reading God's word. And I like to think of the Bible kind of as maybe a survival guide or a guide, because you can go to the Bible and no matter what circumstances you're facing in life, let's say it's a celebration, like someone had got married or someone had a baby, or it's a dark time like depression or anxiety, you can always go to the Bible and God will speak to you. And he also has ways that he wants you to handle each situation. So I want to share a time where I want to share with you guys a false shadow that I have and how I put that into the light. So one of my false shadows is not being enough. And so this affects me in many areas of my life. So as I shared before, I'm in sales. And so sometimes when my coworker who's been with the company 10 years, gets a sale that I don't, a question of, am I enough? Am I good enough to be in sales comes up. Or even as an intern pastor in this role, as I was writing this sermon, I thought, well, am I really speaking what God wants me to share with you all today? Am I going to be enough? Am I going to be able to connect with you? Or as I shared in the past, I'm a dog owner. I'm a first-time dog mom. And I'm always worried if I'm doing enough for her. Am I a good enough mom? Do I take her for enough walks? And I hope there's no vets in the room, but I don't brush her teeth every day. Am I going to be enough? And so I live in those shadows of not being enough. And it starts becoming a reality. It starts becoming my reality that I'm not enough and that I'm not perfect. But then I turn to God's light, his truth, and I read 2 Corinthians 12:9. And I just want to share that with you guys today. And it says, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. And wow, after reading that light, I realized that, you know, in the weakness and maybe not brushing my dog's teeth enough or not getting that sale, God is able to use me. And the idea of being perfect, I was thinking of the definition of perfect as earthly, but I had to recant back and think of, no, we're perfect as God intended us to be. And then he'll do the rest in our weaknesses. So the Bible helps expose the false shadows into the light so we can see what is good, what is right, and true. So are there areas in your life where you need to guard your heart? But more importantly, are there areas in your life that you need to expose to the light? The second invitation is to pray for understanding. So temptations and false shadows in our life are inevitable. Sometimes we might put those false shadows on ourselves or be in the darkness because of our own doing. And sometimes we do that because of another person. And sometimes just because of the vices of this world, we are going to be left in the darkness. And I don't know about you, but for me, when I'm in darkness or it's hard, I get angry, I get upset, and I get sad. And I start looking for someone else to blame because there's no way it's going to be my fault. And so, you know, I'll try to blame like my mom or a friend. And ultimately, I start blaming God. And thoughts like this come into my head. God, why did you give me this? I don't deserve this. Or, hey, God, I know you promised that you would only give me struggles or you would only give me hard times that you and I can handle together, but this that you gave me right here, that is way too much and I cannot handle this. This is crazy. But Paul reminds us this. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. So, make the most of every opportunities. So could those hard times or those dark times in our lives actually be an opportunity for us? Could it be an opportunity for us to learn something or grow? Instead of having that closed-minded, let's blame God mindset, what if we viewed this as God giving us an opportunity to learn and grow? Then Paul goes on to say, understand what the Lord wants you to do. So whenever I'm faced with like a hard situation or a dark time, it's so easy for me to kind of pull back and into myself and say, hey, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to do it alone. I don't need any help because I don't want to convenience anyone else. But Paul is encouraging us to turn to God in those dark times. He wants us to seek out what God wants us to do. So how can we do that? Well, we can read his word. We can pray. We can talk to people who also illuminate God's light. And ultimately, we must depend on him for guidance and understanding. So darkness does not have to have this negative connotation, and it doesn't have to be bad. It can actually be viewed as an opportunity for us to learn and grow. And most importantly, it can be a way that we can strengthen our relationship with God. So in conclusion, we've had a lot of information in chapter 5. At first, we learned that we were once darkness and now we're light. And then Paul reminds us of our daily choice of choosing light or darkness. We can stay in the false shadows and we can be captive to the darkness that we once came from, or we can choose the light which is good, which is right, and which is true, and ultimately where God is. So how do we live in this light? Well, it's through the power and love of God. And this isn't just like some like basic power. This is a special power. It's the kind of power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And we all have access to God's power and love today. And we also are able to make the choice if we want to choose the light. Amen.